to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First up, we need a motion to approve the February 8 and February 28 minutes.
Second.
Any questions, comments, changes? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. No grievances, Nate, I assume? That's good.
We like that.
Scott's up first.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Scott.
No, there you go.
Is this on?
Yep. So this morning I'm coming to the committee to see if we can get approval to add the Springwater Wayland Emergency Medical Services to our workers' comp plan for the county. They came to us through Mr. Malter here a couple months ago with a request to take a look at it. Their insurance costs are pretty high and see if we could help them out. We did our due diligence with Jen, Jack, to determine that they could come in our plan. Even though the name's got Springwater in it, they have nothing to do with Springwater. I guess in the beginning of when they formed it, they were going to, but they went their separate ways. So all they service is the town of Wayland in Steuben County. So they're currently with the New York State Insurance Fund and a safety group. Their premium is a little over $7,000 after their discount puts them down in the low 4,000s. We'll bring them into our plan for $3,000 a year. So it's a great savings to them. For the plan, it's good. They're a very small service. So we don't anticipate any major issues, any claims for them, or any reason not to have them in our plan. And it kind of rounds out the Waylands. We've got the town in now. We've had the village. If we bring these folks in, we're also working with the fire department. We're scheduled to meet with them in another month to revisit that, to hopefully bring them in. So that kind of puts that whole Wayland district in our plan. So that's what I'm asking for. Any questions or comments?
I'll second.
Got a motion to second. Anything else for Scott?
Is it a volunteer service?
It's a volunteer service. Yep. Not for profit. Ambulance services, just to give you a quick background, are rated on number of ambulances in their program. So okay. They have two ambulances. That's how they rate the premium. We looked at it hard with PERMA. PERMA's got a number of ambulance services in their program. Very, very familiar with what they have. So,
okay. Brad,
do you have a number of fire departments that are in the plan too?
Yeah, we've got top of my head, I think 30 some. I'll get you that number exactly, but in our plan amongst the municipal members are a number of the fire departments in the county. So
does it matter if they're a fire district or a fire protection district?
It does matter in terms of the municipality served need to be in the comp plan. So the fire district themselves, if the municipalities they serve are not in our comp plan, we don't allow them in. So it's kind of a cherry picking issue that if one doesn't join, we don't allow the others. And same thing for the fire departments that, if the municipality that is served by that fire department is not in the comp plan, then that fire department would not be either.
But for a good reason, because normally right. The fire departments have a higher exposure rate.
Right.
Exactly. So if the township isn't in, their fire department right. can't be.
Yeah, those are the ones candidly that, it's essentially police, fire, and public works that are the main exposures, with fire being right up there.
Yeah.
Anything else for Scott? If not, all in favor?
Hi, Bob.
My only question is, the more we actually have in, unless they're real reckless and dangerous, the better it is, because it spreads more over we can spread it over a larger group of people, correct?
Yep, that's true. And, we're always looking to grow the plan with members, whether it's, the fire districts or, departments if possible, or our municipal members, and you're right. The more we get in, that actually helps everyone. The plan's in really great shape and actually, projected to be even better this year. So I think it's a positive for everybody that we can help. So
good.
Thanks. I believe the motion carried. Thanks, Scott.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
Next up, Wendy.
Good
Good morning. Excuse me. I'm coming to request authorization to issue a new RFP for changing the scope of the tax bill printing and mailing service from having the company create the bill, print it, and mail it to just printing and mailing from PDFs that we provide to them. In post-production discussion with IT, and Chris was involved in our office, we are doing the bulk of it. We have to process and create the data for the tax bills. And there was some difficulty with the company, with Cathedral, as far as implementation. They didn't seem to have, with the fact that they've been doing bills for other counties for over 10 years, they don't seem to have a process in place. So it was a difficult implementation process. So we've decided to just provide the PDFs and just the printing and mailing, and save the postage, and all the bills will go out together at the same time.
So we're just issuing an RFP for the service, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll move it.
Second.
Anything else for Wendy?
Was that feedback provided back to Cathedral?
Yes. Throughout the process, we were, and I don't know. They assigned us a customer relations person, mm-hmm. that can work with us all the time, but anyone above that, we never heard from, even though I, voice complaints and, ask questions. There were things that we didn't get answers to. Postage was kind of an issue all over the place.
Are there many other players in the business than Cathedral?
A couple.
Yeah. Just
Carol.
Will this lead to some reduction in the cost of producing these?
Yes, because they were charging us per bill processing fee plus the postage fee as well.
So do we know how much we'll be saving?
I have not calculated that out yet. It was
right.
Right now the Cathedral was charging, they quoted us 11 cents per bill, and that came back at like 13 cents.
Thank you.
So there's some issues there.
So when is the contract up for Cathedral?
Well, it was up the end of May, but after discussing with Chris and Jen, we decided to cancel effective April 1st.
We always have a termination clause in our contracts that allows us to cancel any within 30 days notice. So the 30 days notice was provided March 1st.
Fred?
After everything was said and done, did we end up saving money even though it cost more than what we anticipated with Cathedral?
I believe so. The postage average, if it was, an ounce or, not special handling, the postage was about 43 cents versus now the postage is 58 cents.
I think all the tax collectors saved soft costs because they didn't have to process the pay the bills anymore.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
And the towns bought the postage before.
Right.
And depending, if it was a small town and they didn't go, bulk rate, that's the whole 58 cents they would pay.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, Nate.
Okay, good morning. A few more things than I usually like to have on for you here today, but we talked about most of them already. First item I have is a creation of a full-time supervising dispatcher in 911. And as I mentioned yesterday, this is the kind of the final phase in our plan with 911. We've hired the operations manager and are now looking to have that final supervising dispatcher.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, and the next one is the public defender. As I talked about yesterday, these two, the full-time assistant public defender as well as a full-time paralegal, they are covered under ILS funding. So asking for authorization to create.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, what's that? Oh no, I got Kathy first, I think. Okay, so we're looking for two reclassifications in the Department of Social Services. One is an assistant director of temporary and disability assistance position. We're looking to reclassify that. It's a downgrade to a principal social welfare examiner.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And a principal clerk position, which is it would be an upgrade to a paralegal assistant.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
The next request is one that we haven't talked about yet, but as part of the management salary plan, Jack and I have to look at those employees who have been here for three or more years. With the to get them to midpoint, should it be warranted. Currently, the Deputy Director of Information Technology is at a grade I step three, and under that plan should be moved to a grade I step five.
And as Nate said, that's codified as a process in your management salary plan, and Mr. Ryan does a fantastic job, so we feel it's very justified.
Second.
Any questions?
How long has he been here?
3 years. So he years and change. So he's hit his 3 years,
okay.
which has triggered this review. And we looked, and this is the only one that falls into this category.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. Now, Brooks, I'm going to let Brooks do this one.
Well, most of you were here yesterday, so I won't give the whole song and dance that I did yesterday. You can be relieved of that.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Being long-winded does have benefits once in a while. Thank you.
No questions or comments. No questions or comments allowed. We got a motion to second. Yeah, make sure your mic's on. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That's the easiest. I'm going to say thank you and leave. That's all I'm going to do.
Thank you. Go buy a lottery ticket.
I didn't see that coming. Okay. One final one. A tuition aid request, and we did talk about this in previous committee as well. It's an employee of the finance department, took classes last semester and is taking classes this semester. We obviously have our tuition aid policy. We pay $150 a credit. It's in the neighborhood of $2,700.
I'll move it.
Your second?
Second.
Is she taking her CPA?
It's no, it's business administration.
Oh, all right.
still appropriate. So,
got a motion to second. Any questions for Nate? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you much.
Next up is Tammy.
Morning.
Morning, Tammy. Good morning. We, as part of getting the administrative code in line with the Munis accounts, we started looking at the transfer section, and I've proposed a couple of changes. Most of the changes are related to the account number references that have changed slightly, but we have asked to expand Jack and Maya's my authority to approve transfers between like cost centers and between unlike cost centers up to 25,000 within the actual operating accounts. We haven't changed the equipment levels or any of those other categories, just the operating accounts, the payroll, fringe, and contractual lines.
John.
I just received this morning, have really had no chance to review it. I'd kind of like to have you postpone this so I have a chance.
Your motion to table it?
I'll move that.
Is there a second? All in favor of tabling it till next month?
Okay. Sounds
aye.
Good.
Aye.
Aye. You actually sent this out over a week ago, didn't you? You just sent small changes based on your meeting that you just had.
Right. We met Friday.
I mean, we've had the majority of this for over a week.
I'm not sure if it got Thursday. Sent to all legislators.
I just got it this morning.
Sent to the committee.
Oh, okay.
I got it yesterday.
I'm not on the committee.
You're the chairman.
You're the grand poobah. So.
Yeah, the grand poobah. I like that name for him.
Yeah, we'll send it to all legislators and then.
Well, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yesterday. I just.
Oh, yesterday.
Last week, I just sent it to be attached to the agenda, which is my usual practice.
Well, we can either table it till next month or prior to the full legislative meeting. Would that give you enough time, John?
No, as long as in general, I know that everyone's agreeable. We're starting that work. Well, we've started last Friday. We started that workflow work. And I hate to have IT travel too far down that road if we're not going to keep traveling down that road, but I'm not sure when our next workflow session with Munis is.
Really, the change in monetary limit is probably the only thing that
the rest of it's all just
changing.
What is it? What exactly is the change in the dollar amount? So when you look at the changes,
well, there's
it scratches out 25,000 and then it adds in 25,000.
Right. I was going to say it's not a change in the dollar amount. The dollar amount remains the same. In the old version, Jack and I had the authority to approve transfers between the operating accounts within the same state-defined cost centers. Anything within operating accounts within different state-defined cost centers came to the Finance Committee. Within the same cost centers would be from the personnel salary line to the personnel testing line. That would be within the same cost center. Different state-defined cost centers would be from personnel to public health, either an operating line, a salary line, or a fringe line. A lot of those year-end adjustments that we do, we go to other cost centers to grab some money for budgetary purposes. So up to 25,000 would be something that Jack and I could do. Again, anything over 25,000 would still come back to the finance.
And within budget, there has to be enough money in the other one, obviously,
right.
To be able to transfer to transfer in between. So it would be within your overall budget. It would just hopefully save the number of, because we can do these transfers with a couple clicks of the button. And, as long as you're comfortable with the thresholds that were at 25, it's just changing the transfers essentially between departments most of the time at year end. We don't do a lot of those during the year.
Rare. It's very, very rare that we would do one during the year. Maybe like Public Works would do one between two of their different state defined functions, but normally it's not. Normally it's the year end ones where we're pulling money from one department to cover the costs in another department, but as Jack said, the budget is there overall.
Jeff.
So
Does it require, when you say that you are Jack, is it both or just you?
It's
or
both.
Jack? Okay.
Yeah. All of these things, except for the very small ones. I mean, Tammy, her staff have to review everyone, even the ones that the department heads do. And then the next level is it's always both of us. So there's checks.
So on the monthly reports, are we still going to see those transfers?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. That's still, I did not change that portion. Yeah. That would still come back to the committee for review.
What was it on highway, the amount that we could, that, what was it on highway? 250?
No, it was 100. So Tammy and I can approve anything, especially, and it's normally within their capital projects, of up to 100 as long as the money is in the budget. Anything over 100 for their capital projects has to come here. But that hasn't changed.
I thought it said 250. Did I misread?
I think 250 is where it goes to full
board.
Board.
So I think finance committee is 100 to 250.
Yeah.
And then over 250 is the full board.
Actually 50 to 250, Jack.
Oh, okay.
We're good up to 50.
Okay.
For highway. And then from 50 to 250, it's the committee. And then above 250, it would go to the full board.
There were so many scratch outs, I wasn't sure.
I know.
Let's vote on the motion to table. We got a motion and a second. All in favor of tabling it. Do you want to table it to a special admin committee meeting before the full legislature, or do you need more time? John?
Well, I think I'm looking at this thing. A lot of the transfers I don't have a problem with. Those are the internal transfers, like for rental and fringe benefits. I don't have a problem with those. Those have to be done anyways. I guess the thing of it is that as long as the reports reflect what those transfers are and the finance committee gets them, I guess I don't have a problem with this.
So are you withdrawing your motion?
Well, I'm not on the committee, so.
Oh.
Kelly would have to do that.
Well, let's vote on the motion. All in favor of tabling it?
Aye. All in favor of what?
Tabling.
Oh, tabling. Yes. Aye.
Okay. So it's tabled. So you want to take it up as a special admin before the full legislature?
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay.
Should only take a couple minutes, probably.
Right. Yeah. Okay. By then, if you have any questions in the meantime, you can ask Tammy or Jack and get those things straightened out.
Okay. I just asked a question. The first page of this is the situation with the budget itself. One time, way back when I was on the board in the 80s and 90s, these budgets came to the committees and let the committee sitting out there redo the budgets for their departments. And I think that was a good idea simply because it kept the committees abreast of what was really happening. And I was just wondering if that is something that could be reinstated or if that would create a major problem.
It's a good question. And in theory, I think it makes a lot of sense. I just worry about how long that extends the budget development process. And in a lot of ways, I mean, we start in the summertime, July. I mean, Tammy and I really start in July, and Chris really with the departments in August. Starting much earlier than that, I worry that.
Well, and I don't think you need to do that. I think once a budget has been put together before it hits finance, is to allow the committees to sit out there and review their departments. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the only question I would have on that is, can the committees unilaterally then make changes to those budgeted amounts?
They would make changes. They might recommend changes to the finance committee.
Brenda has something.
I just want to say that they removed that process. That's when they created the budget officer position.
So
budget officer, we have to actually change all of that.
Well, we had a budget officer way back when. Back in the 80s, we had budget officers sitting out there. So we
actually have a defined budget officer position.
We'll take a look at it, see if it's something that could be done. That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think it's a good idea for the committees to be abreast of what each of their departments are requesting and what their budgets are.
Yeah, no, and I agree with, we'll take a look. I think the way that you operate, personally, I'm not sure if that's needed, because most of the time we have almost all the legislators at the budget meetings.
Right.
If that changed where you only had the finance committee at the budget meetings, then yeah, we need to, I think, do something but by practice, I think most of the time you have
anybody that's interested in development of the budget, they're encouraged to attend the budget workshops. And I mean, even those of us that aren't on the finance committee take part in it. I think adding this extra step, so I can see having the department head come to their committee and explain a 10,000 foot level of what they've proposed for their budget. But anything more than that is just going to add additional work. The budget is built by the finance committee.
Well, and maybe that's a solution. You know, I at least we could try that to see if it's something that's workable.
And that's fine. I mean, they can come and give a highlights of what they've requested in the budget. What they request isn't always what they're getting, because oftentimes Jack does his cuts and then the actual budget workshops, there are more cuts. So you hate to have it be misleading to the committee. That's why I encourage everybody to come in and sit through the few budget workshops that we have, because that's where you learn about the entire operation.
And timing, we'll take a look at it, Mr. Malter, and see what we could do. Timing would be critical, because while it's a long time to develop, really it gets fast and furious in the month of September. So if we'd have to adjust our budget calendar, which is not to say we can't do that, but we just have, we'll think through it and have some discussions.
Okay, that's good.
All right, thanks, Dan. Jack's up next. We're going to do what? Redistricting?
Yeah, we'd like to do redistricting first. The HIPAA audit presentation, as always, is in executive session because of security purposes. So Jen has some information to kick off redistricting from the legal standpoint, and then Chris has some information from just the, you know, essentially census results standpoint, and looking just for an initial conversation and direction from you folks. So I think, Jen, if you want to go first, please.
Okay. So since the last time redistricting was done, there has been a change to state law, which was done this last summer. Previously, charter counties were not held to the same standard as non-charter counties, and they amended that this past late summer, early fall. So here, I'm just going to highlight the two changes. There was a memo from the prior county attorney pointing out that these were the two loopholes, the wiggle room that you had before the last time you redistrict, and those have been closed up. So I'm just going to review those. The first is that prior to this redistricting, I guess the easiest way to say it is, I'm trying to find the wording I have, excuse me, because it's written by lawyers and I try to put it in English, that previously the divisions of towns and cities were not included. The cities could not be divided.
I got that backwards?
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. I have to think it through. They couldn't be divided.
Could not be divided.
Yeah, it didn't address cities. Now we have cities involved. So cities are now part of the redistricting that, let's see. No, to the extent practicable, no villages, cities, or towns, except those having more than 40% of a full ratio for each district, shall be divided. So before, you could divide the city. So that's the one change that we have to take into account. The second is that previously there was a 2% rule from your smallest district to your biggest district. It's now 5%. So it now says that the difference in population between the most and least populous district shall not exceed 5% of the mean population of all districts. So those are just the two changes. They don't seem like much, but they kind of really do factor in and make the math more difficult.
It does change it a little bit. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but we had, the language wasn't as, if I recall, the language wasn't as clear the last time in terms of if you are above or below that 2%, which is now 5%. Yeah. Previously, we essentially had the opportunity to say, okay, you reviewed the redistricting proposal. Your numbers are not within what would now be 5%, and that would be okay. The language now, I mean, while it says as practicable, shall not exceed 5%, is
mandatory.
It is essentially mandatory, and that is specifically related to single member districts. Now, where you do have flexibility in this new language, it says if the plan of districting or redistricting includes multi-member districts, the plan shall provide substantially equal weight for the population of that county in allocation of representation. So what you have is a lot more flexibility to weight your vote when you have multi-member districts instead of single member districts. If you have single member districts, the legislation really wants you to be at that plus or minus 5% of the average. That's challenging because we have a combination of single and multi-member. So Jen and I have had a lot of conversations of, okay, what does that really mean? Does that mean if when we look at redistricting, we have to go by the single member or we have to go by the multi-member? And that's not perfectly clear.
And I don't think that it is clear, because that's still the wiggle room, because I attended a Women's League of Voters session last week and they went over, and it's a good reference if anybody wants to Google that for New York State. They have a list of every county in the state and how they have it set up. I mean, there's so many different options on how it's set up with the weighted single, multi with single and weighted in the single. It's all over the place.
And so what appears clear to me for the intention of the statute is if you use multi-member districts, you have a lot more flexibility to not be within that 5% threshold above or below. You could.
What would be the percent?
Well, so what Chris is in terms of where districts are now?
What would we be shooting for?
Well, you're shooting. You're still shooting for plus or minus five, but in the legislation, it if you don't get to plus or minus five, you're okay because of the weighted voting. With multi-member districts, with single member districts, if you don't get to that plus or minus five, you have issues. And because we have a combination, that's where it gets a little murky for us. Chris is going to present and has sent you and handed out the data of the changes, and it reflects essentially what we were faced last time. Actually, some of the differences have gotten more pronounced, but hand it over to Chris.
And I just want to quickly mention that the other thing that we looked at was term limits. As you all recall, you passed a local law last year to extend your term limits. That is a factor as you go forward, not in a negative way, but if you're in a district that changes and you win again, your truncated term that you're in when you have to run in 2024 that you anticipate allows you to have another term because that wasn't a full term. Yeah, so you could get six terms out of this if you're in one of those districts. So just throwing that out there, that's a factor. Yeah.
That wasn't enough before. Now where it's going to be.
It's theoretically possible.
Or you can extend.
Because it has to be a full term to count as the term limit. So if you're in midterm or it's a new district, it's new. So we'll walk through that as you get.
You can be here till we retire.
Yeah.
We're never going to get rid of these people.
Famous people.
Well, as we can see, the city of Hornell obviously poses the largest change and decrease to the population there in terms of per seat. If we go down through District 4 and 6 have seen dramatic increases as well. And moving further down District 8, District 13, close to double digit population losses there per seat as well. District 12, which is town of Irwin, poses another big challenge too, because they have seen quite a bit of growth there, and they're about 2,600 people over their target. So in order to kind of get within that 5%, give or take, you'd have to carve out, you know, some of the painted post or the painted post village to add to others or Addison. It's a, you know, a multi-pronged approach to look at what town or village gets carved out and what it gets put into. When Jack did this 10 years ago, he had a few dozen different scenarios. We hope to not have that this time.
And that's, so that's sort of the question. I mean, you know, absorb the data, take a look at it. We can send you more, but the threshold question, as Chris and I are talking through this, I spoke to the chairman briefly, is that as a recommendation, I think you have a couple choices. I think to really address, and again, this was the issue last time, but it's gotten worse, is the population of the city of Hornell with two representatives and Irwin with one. Those were the two that we tried to address. I think there's a number of ways to address them. Looking back through the scenarios that we did 10 years ago, there are ways to address them with multi-member districts by juggling the boundaries, by juggling the towns that are included. So if you add more municipalities, you can get the same, you can essentially achieve the same result and get closer to the mean. Again, we looked at what, back then we looked at what the ideal number of legislators were, and 17, based on, you know, our quick analysis, still is, you know, a valid number. The last time we did it, and I think it holds up this time, is to get to, you know, a true, if you really want to, I guess, get as close to that with single member districts, you're looking at 23. If you're looking at getting, going up to 23 legislators, if you're looking at, you know, streamlining multi-member districts, you're looking at 11 legislators. Otherwise, 17 actually works pretty well. And I would just argue that operationally, I think 17 is a pretty good number for our operations in terms of committee structures and everything like that. So not coming with a recommendation to change the number of legislators. But I do think that, you know, serious consideration needs to be taken to look at, you know, additional multi-member districts. I think that's how you solve it personally. The other option to put on your table for transparency purposes, and it's one that, if you go this way, I'm very likely recommending to hire a consultant, is to go down to the census tract level.
That's the scorched earth plan.
That's essentially what the state and the feds do, where you carve up municipalities by census tracts, not by their municipal boundaries. You look at census tracts and juggle it that way. But the amount of permutations that would result from that, and the amount of analysis that would take. And then traditionally, I mean, you're losing your historic municipal boundaries. So you could be a legislator that represented one municipality for, you know, however long, and now you are in the process. It would essentially be, you would have a carve out of a number of different municipalities to make the numbers work. I don't recommend that, but that is an option to get closer to the ideal.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and there's no way you want to lose the identity of the municipal boundaries, because it would even be hard for the people to understand who the representative, because they may not live in their town, and they're in a population cluster.
Yeah,
you know.
Just changing the voting place,
yeah,
messes people, yeah, screws everybody up. They go to their old place. Yeah,
can we use it? Yes, we started going back through. I think there's some that are no longer valid. Some of the plans are no longer valid, but I think a number of them are. Long story short, it won't be as laborious as last time. It'll be a lot of work for Chris, and of course, I will help. Mark handed it to me, so congratulations. Long story short, yes, we can use a lot of the analysis that we did last time, and we have all of that saved. Where, I mean, Chris can, you know, update the spreadsheets that we used the last time to take a look at different scenarios.
The last time I really was against changing the district, but 10 years ago, And then I really said, if it wasn't broken, let's not try to fix it. This obviously has changed.
Irwin, especially. I mean, Irwin keeps growing, and
Now it's broken.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Irwin, you know, is closer to justifying two members on their own.
Right.
You know, and so we're getting further into the track that if you don't do anything and you use weighted voting, a minority of your board will carry the issues if it ever came to that.
It seems that once Argentieri retired, everyone moved out of Hornell.
So it's the population divided by the number of representatives. So 17. Yep.
Now, what's the red? Some of these are negative in red and some are negative in black. In your numbers.
Nope. Black is positive.
Well,
on the right side.
Town of Hornellsville is negative 117. Hartsville is a negative 51. That's in black, but the town of Dansville is in red.
We use the same spreadsheet as last time and the colors stayed. The numbers changed. So we just have to change those colors. The numbers are correct. So if there's a negative in it, it's a negative.
Yeah.
We just have to change the colors to reflect it.
So the colors really don't mean anything.
That's meant to
the ones that are right, dude. So just laying this on your docket and really the critical decision point or feedback that we were looking from you is if you wanted to look at the census tract level, because if you do that completely changes the way that Chris and I approach this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about timing? Because I mean, I'd like to know what is next step, but what is our goal and when does it need to be achieved?
That was my next question.
Yeah. So you would have to introduce any change by June in the June meeting. Because it's a 2-month process, it'd have to be finalized by July.
Okay.
So everything would have to be.
And so, then that makes it to the ballot.
Correct.
Okay.
So when are we going to see the redistricting proposals?
Based on this, the options, we don't put proposals in front of you because we're agnostic on this. But the options for you. Starting next month, it as long as there's a general consensus that you don't want to go to the census tract level, because if you do it, frankly, I think that kicks that out another year or two.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll stay with the municipal boundaries and then we will keep moving forward and start bringing the options.
And I would expect there'd be some communications with myself since the city of Hornell is going to change and those who have major changes.
You certainly will have all opportunities to voice your opinions, Mr. Swackhammer. Yes.
So the only thing I would recommend is when you come up with your pack of options, send them out to us so that we can all look at them before we come to these meetings.
Certainly.
That way,
more time is better.
And are ready with questions.
Since this is such a big deal, or will be, shouldn't we just have a special workshop just? Because this could take a while to go through.
So the way that you handled it last time is you admin kept the authority. You just set aside additional time, either special workshop after finance or something like that. But you kept it under the administration committee. Because frankly, any change would have to come from this committee anyhow. So whether you want to, because we have finance right up against it, whether you want to do admin finance and then a special admin to discuss redistricting, I think that'd probably be the easiest way.
Or can you do finance admin?
Change the order?
Change the order.
Sure.
There's no reason that we couldn't. Everyone, does that impact anyone's schedule? I think everyone here from finance is normally here for admin. So
yeah.
I don't think that matters. We could, there's no reason we couldn't change that, right?
Just have to notice.
Yeah, do finance and admin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me ask a question. So after this is all done and we've approved it, it goes to a vote in November?
Mandatory referendum.
So how do the people get to vote on this? I mean, because they're not going to look at a chart.
It'll be a referendum on the ballot. and a heck of a lot of, like when you joined the charter, a heck of a lot of press communication of here, and we're not going to be the only one. I mean, you know, Chemung's going through this now. Like every municipality has to look at this. Every county has to look at this. It would be a referendum on the ballot. Frankly, there's going to be some people that don't, but it's going to be, you know, last time we did some advertising, you know,
we got Randy and Robin back. They can go make the circuit again.
We bought some spots on WETM and some of the local radio to say, don't forget to flip over the ballot. I'm not sure what other state referenda are going to be on for the, yeah, I'm not sure. So people have to make sure to flip over the ballot. Yeah. And circle it.
So what if it gets voted down?
Yeah, then you stay the way you are and you reweight.
You what?
Reweight.
Change the weighting.
Just change the weighting. That's it.
But you have to make a good faith attempt to make it right first. I mean, we could even have some informational sessions.
Yeah. Public
Scott,
session.
You can go.
No mashed potatoes.
Television and
I have a face for radio, Hilda, not TV.
Well, and especially with Zoom, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to get participation than it was last time because we didn't really have these virtual meeting spaces. I mean, you could have however many virtual meetings that you want. Not that you can't have in person, but virtual seems a lot easier for folks.
Yeah.
And just say, here's the presentation. Here's the districts. There are some scenarios, and depending upon the ones that you select, there are some scenarios that don't change much. There's some scenarios that change almost every district.
Yep. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
What's that?
Can we redo the?
Yes, we will fix the colors.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess the other items are for executive session.
Yes, two items for executive session. Well, three, two related to compensation of specific individuals and one related to information security or security public safety. I don't know whatever that title is.
Public safety.
Public safety.
Got a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're in executive session.